a shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight.
Born on this day back in 1936, Bobby Darin. His first million-selling single was Spliss Splash in 1958, and then hits with Dream Lover and Beyond the Sea. Did you know he worked on Robert F. Kennedy's Democratic presidential campaign? He was there on the night of the assassination. He died in 1973 at the age of 37 years old. This song right here, Mac the Knife. Steve Doolin with us in a moment. I don't know exactly how old Steve is. I assume he's at least as old as I. And that means he likely, maybe, possibly remembers the old McDonald's ad campaign with the singing crescent moon, Mac Tonight, selling McDonald's burgers. That's how I know Mac the Knife, at least how I was initially introduced to Mac the Knife. Bobby Darin, born on this day in 1936. As I mentioned, Steve Doolin standing by, licensed attorney, real estate broker, also member of the board of directors for the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. Steve, do you recall that Mac Tonight ad campaign for McDonald's mid-late 80s?
I do, actually, yeah. It was sort of creepy, the moon, as I recall.
It's a singing crescent moon. What's creepy about that?
It had a weird vibe.
Yeah. Maybe in retrospect, maybe. Steve, story out of Idaho. The governor there, Brad Little, signing legislation to try to thwart a half dozen executive orders by President Joe Biden when it comes to gun violence. Measures signed on Monday. They, of course, have passed the Idaho House and Senate. I know you've looked at this a little bit. Tell us what Idaho's trying to do here and the likelihood that it stands up.
Well, Idaho is trying to refuse to cooperate with federal enforcement of whatever comes down the pike in terms of gun control. So it's a federalism question, and federalism is the term that we teach in constitutional law classes that describes the separation of powers between the states and the federal government. And it's an interesting issue. It's fascinating. It gets really deep really fast, and I could talk about this for half an hour straight, but I don't think you'll let me. But what it boils down to is how much power has each state delegated to the federal government to make decisions like this?
And that question. Go ahead.
Well, the whole thing got thrown into a cocked hat under the great socialist tyrant President FDR during World War II with a case about a farmer in Kansas who was feeding his own grain to his own cattle, mm-hmm. and he was found to be in violation of federal rationing schemes. And the theory is that the Commerce Clause in the Constitution that gives Congress the power to regulate commerce among the states, or rather prohibits the states from regulating commerce between each other. Remember, the whole idea of the Constitution was to reform the Articles of Confederation. And I'm not even sure this is taught much anymore in the schools, but back when you and I were in school, we were taught about the Articles of Confederation and how the states were raising tariffs against one another. And that was really causing problems in terms of a national economy. And so one of the big parts of the Constitution is this Commerce Clause that says that, Wisconsin can't place a tariff on Michigan goods, or Ohio can't place a tariff on Michigan goods. And so the Supreme Court, under threat of court packing, deja vu, sort of bent to the will of FDR and the rest of the socialists and caved in and started allowing these New Deal schemes to be found to be constitutional. And the way they beat this poor Kansas farmer and said he was violating federal law by feeding his own grain to his own cattle is a farmer named Wickard was found to have engaged in behavior that could have a cumulative effect on commerce. In other words, he could affect interstate commerce by feeding his own grain to his own cattle. So therefore, he was violating the U.S. Constitution or the regulation passed pursuant to the Constitution, pursuant to that federal commerce clause. And that means that anything that could possibly impact interstate commerce, which is virtually everything you could do,
right,
is somehow the business of the federal government. And what Idaho is doing is saying not everything is the business of the federal government, and we are a sovereign state like the rest of the 50 states, and we don't have to put up with it. It's a fascinating question. Personally, I side with the states on this issue. I think that the current interpretation of the Commerce Clause by the U.S. Supreme Court is completely backwards and wrong. But that's the scheme that we've all grown up in. Even people as old as you and I who can remember that commercial, it's been in place since 1943, so since way before that McDonald's commercial.
We got about a minute left here, Steve. Idaho already had a law passed in 2014 that said the state's government cannot enforce federal actions that infringe upon Second Amendment rights. They say they've seen no blowback, no funding cut from the government due to that law, so this might not mean too much either, I suppose. We'll see.
Right, absolutely correct. Yeah, that's the threat. The federal government has the tax and spend power, mm-hmm. and the threat is, we'll just keep taking a bunch of your money through taxes, and we won't give any of it back to you if you don't do what we say from Washington, D.C. It's the whole thing is a mess, frankly. Philosophically and legally, and it's just one more aspect of that old Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Mm-hmm. Steve Doolin, licensed attorney, real estate broker, member of the board of directors for the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners, and very knowledgeable about the Commerce Clause. Steve, thanks so much for joining us this morning on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks, Scott. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's a Steve-only hour. I don't know how I'm here. Steve Doolin, Stephen Moore on the Steve Gruber Show with Scott Bertram filling in. More in a moment.